Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Happy Easter.
It's a happy day. Would you stand and sing with us, please?
Two and one, two, three, four, and...
Welcome to Helotes Hills United Methodist Church, our Easter service. I'm so glad that you are here this morning. My name is Cheryl Broom, and I happen to be the senior pastor here. I'm so blessed to be your leader in worship today and your pastor. We're going to have a wonderful time together, and I'm going to ask you to participate in a couple of different ways later today. But first, I want us to think about this day and what it means to us. They're connect cards. They're kind of greenish in the pew in front of you. If you're a visitor or a guest or have a prayer request, those cards serve dual purposes. You can fill out information you're comfortable with giving us. And then on the reverse side are prayer requests. If you have a prayer request, we would love to hold you in our prayers. We're glad that you're here, and we're excited to share God's love with you in music, in song, in bells, and even with trumpets. What a joy to be here. If you're searching for Jesus, I think you've come to the right place. But guess what? The tomb is empty, and he is not here, for Christ has risen. Open your eyes to the wonder of God's full surprise. See, very early, it was still dark outside, and people went to the tomb very sorrowful. They were uncertain. They only knew about grief and loss. And yet, when we return to the tomb in our anguish, in our love, we looked up and it was empty. He has been raised. He is not here. And to that, I say, hallelujah. Christ is risen. You have some words that'll come up, and I want you to say them together with me really loud. Christ is risen.
Lord
Hallelujah.
Please stand in body or spirit as we welcome the light of Christ. Would you join me in the call to worship? This very day, God has acted. Today, we will rejoice and be glad. We know the message that God sends to all people. God's peace, preached by Jesus Christ, is available to all through the Lord of life, the one who lived among us, doing good and healing all, was crucified, dead, and buried. God raised him on the third day. This very day, God has acted.
Today,
we will rejoice and be glad. Let us pray. God, just as you raised Jesus from the dead, you offer us new and transformed lives in the risen Christ. We rejoice and give thanks for this good news, which has been handed down to us from generation to generation. May we, too, be witnesses of Jesus, who you anointed with the Holy Spirit to bring blessings of mercy and healing. May we be witnesses of Jesus' suffering and death, and how he meets us in the broken places of our lives. Most of all, may we be witnesses of the resurrection, sharing your promise of forgiveness and grace with all people. This is your doing, O God. It is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Today, we will be reading the verses from John 20, verses 1 through 10. You can find it in your pew Bible, page 988. I will be reading from the Message version of the resurrection. Listen now for a word from God. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, gasping for breath. They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they've put him. Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths lying there, and a kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We'd like to invite the kiddos forward to participate in worship today. Come on down if you want to join us. We can all take a seat up here. Good morning, guys. We can sit on the floor. We can sit all around. We're not going to be sitting for very long. It's no fun to sit, right? We want to get up and move, right? Yeah? So, Miss Jessie and the Hill City kids here at HHUMC, we have been talking about Holy Week for the past month and what Holy Week means to us as Christians, and I have not had the opportunity to tell you guys my favorite part. Candy? I do like candy, and I love when chocolate is donated to the egg hunt because it goes into my personal stash. No, not really. My favorite part is not what you'd expect. What are we celebrating today? What is special about today? I heard it. Jesus did what? He rose from the dead, right? His disciples went to see him in the morning. They went to prepare his body in the grave, and he wasn't there. Jesus conquered death. It didn't hold him down, right? So we know that Jesus had extraordinary power. But my favorite part of Holy Week comes on Good Friday, when we meet Jesus in the garden and he's praying, because it's the time where I see Jesus as the most human. It's easy to forget that he had all the same feelings we did, right? And we meet him there and he's saying, God, I don't know. I'm scared, but I know you have a plan and I can trust your plan. And Jesus, with all of that power to beat death, trusted the plan and he went to the cross for us. And that tells me if Jesus, with all of that power, could trust the plan, then I should be able to trust the plan too, right? Because God has power to protect me and take care of me, just like he did with Jesus.
Jesse, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're in worship today. And remember I told you about the Connect cards, which are kind of lime green in the pew backs in front of you, that can fill out information about yourself you're comfortable with giving us, or if you have an update of your address. And on the reverse side of that is the prayer card. And if you have prayer needs, we really seriously consider and pray for your needs. We take them to the prayer team, and we invite you to share them with us. And it's a confidential group. You won't hear it out on the streets, not from us. Anyway, as we come today, we have a little bit different in our prayer time. I'll lift the prayers of the people up. We'll pray together, and then you'll have some words of assurance, and I'm going to invite you to pass the peace. We don't often do that. And this morning at 8:30, they kind of didn't know what to do, Andrew. They sat there like, oh, we're passing peace? It's okay to shake hands with your neighbor or touch elbows or whatever you want to do and greet them in the name of Jesus Christ today. So we'll pass the peace together, okay? No surprises. Then let us go before God in prayer. Risen Jesus, how we long to proclaim the good news we've received. You are risen. The tomb is empty, and you're present with your friends. Remind us not to look for you in the places where we lost you, in our grief, our failures, the death that's all around us. For you have been raised. You are not trapped in some tomb. Help us to proclaim your resurrection with confidence this day. Flawed as we are, help us to perceive how deeply we are loved. For your grace and mercy never fail. As we join now together to pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples by saying, Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved of God, the grace of God is with you, and God's grace has not been made in vain. Receive forgiveness and mercy through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Why don't you show your neighbors signs of peace through a handshake or a hello? It is so great to see you sharing the peace of God with each other. Peace, brother. Peace, sister. I know now why we stopped doing the signs of peace, Kathy, because it took so long. We just said, peace, Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. And we're here because it's Easter morning and we have to come to church. Our bodies are called here to be with one another. Earlier today, I issued a challenge to people to count the number of butterflies I have on my jacket. There's a lot, and you'll get a prize. The littler kids who were up front earlier wanted to know what the prize was. Or was that your son? No. Your son won the prize last week for knowing who Mr. Beast was. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to issue a guess, you'll win a prize if you guess how many butterflies are on this. I was teasing earlier, too, that somebody threatened to put some on my back, so I might not know. I think it was Sharon Fitzpatrick, Trey, your mother, that said that she was going to do that. Anyway, we come because of the Easter story. We love a good love story. And the Easter story promises us a great love story. It's a love story of God who sent his son Jesus, who loved us. He loved to talk about love, and he actively showed his love and compassion and his care for every single person, including the last and the least and the lost. Sometimes especially those people who were generally ignored by society. The core message of Jesus' teachings was around God's love for us, and he taught us two things, really, that were the greatest commandments. You know them. Love God and love others. That's it. He was all about love. He emphasized to us the importance of forgiveness and kindness and helping people in need and treating others the way we want to be treated ourselves. His ultimate expression of love is found in his willingness to die on the cross for us. His sacrifice was the gap between us and God, and he filled it for us, allowing us to experience forgiveness and grace and fullness of life and life eternal. Jesus often showed his love through acts of service. He washed the feet of his disciples. Now, normally, servants did that, not the host. But Jesus washed their feet to show them how to love one another in humility. That's what true leadership is about, being a humble leader and serving others. He offered love and forgiveness to every single person, even those who rejected him, even those who made mistakes. And Jesus spent a lot of time with his disciples. He spent like almost 3 years. It was like Jesus' boot camp, right? And he was teaching them about love. He was offering them guidance. He dedicated his life to his followers, and he wanted them to grow in faith. He wants us to grow in our faith too. Jesus loved us. This is the greatest love story on earth. But then, what happened? After being in active ministry with his disciples for some 3 years, things started to get a little dicey with the religious authorities of the day and the Roman government. They took notice of Jesus because he was garnering big crowds of people. Like thousands and thousands of people were coming to see him. And he was doing miracles. Like people who were blind could now see. People who couldn't hear could hear and talk. People who were paralyzed could walk. And he even raised Lazarus from the dead. When those things started happening, more and more people wanted to see Jesus. Because I'll tell you, when you're sick and tired, or your loved ones are, and there's some man healing people, what are you going to do? You're going to take your loved ones to Jesus. And that's what people did. And so that made the Romans a little nervous, and that made the religious authorities at the time incredibly nervous. Because if Jesus could do this and garner all this support, well, what are they going to do? And so they hatched a plan to rid themselves of this man, Jesus. And so later, as we followed Jesus along in Holy Week this past week, we came together on Thursday. We call it Maundy Thursday. That Maundy word just means commandment. We're commanded. Jesus said, remember me. Remember how I am humble and I washed feet. I want you to be a humble leader. And then he said, and remember, as we break this bread, it is my body, which is broken for you. And as we drink this cup, it's my blood poured out for you. And so Thursday, we remembered that. And then Friday, Good Friday, we came together, and our choir and orchestra led us in an amazing worship of word and song where we experienced Jesus that night. The night when one of his disciples had already gone to the authorities and betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed Jesus and told them where they could find him to arrest him. So they arrested him that night. A couple of hundred Roman soldiers, maybe 100 of the religious Praetoria guard. They went to the garden and found him there after he had prayed. And they took him. They took him in Jerusalem first to the chief priest. Well, it was the chief priest's father-in-law because he used to be the chief priest, Annas. And they wanted him gone. They were trying to figure out a reason to get Jesus killed. They're trying to get him to admit who he was. And he just stayed silent. So then they took him to the high priest, Caiaphas. They're mad at him. And so the people, those holy people, those religious people, they punched him and hit him and spat on him and ridiculed him. But that wasn't enough that night. No, then they took him over to see Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman ruler of the area, Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate didn't see anything wrong with Jesus. From our scripture reports, we hear that he found no guilt in Jesus and tried to release him. And the religious people wouldn't have any of it. And so he sent him over to Herod Antipas. Do you remember Herod? Herod was a Jewish ruler at the time. He happened to be in Jerusalem too. His little palace was not far from Pilate's palace. So Pilate, being a smart man, thought, I'll send Jesus to Pilate, and then Pilate can crucify him. I don't want to do it. And so Herod, Antipas, enjoyed a little meeting with Jesus and also said, well, I don't want to do anything with him, and sent him back to Pilate. Pilate said, look, people, I can't find any guilt in this man. And what did the people scream? Crucify him. Crucify him. The crowds were huge. They thought maybe there was going to be some sort of violent uprising if he didn't placate the people. And during that time, he would allow one prisoner at Passover to be freed. And they had a prisoner, his name was Barabbas. And Barabbas was in jail. He was going to be crucified because he was a murderer. He was a terrorist. He was a zealot. And so they said, I will release a prisoner. Can we release Jesus? And they said, no. Release Barabbas. And so he did. And Jesus was sent to be crucified. Now, not only was Jesus sent to be crucified, but the Roman authorities then took some time to continue to beat him. And then continue to ridicule him. They placed a crown of thorns on his head and pushed it down really hard. They put a purple robe on him. And they said, oh, here's the King of the Jews. Later, they forced him to take the cross to Golgotha, where he would be crucified. Now, he couldn't carry the cross because they'd beat him so terribly. And so a man who was there worshiping in Jerusalem at the time, all the people had come to Jerusalem that were Jewish because you have to go during certain holidays. He had come for Passover. His name was Simon of Cyrene. He had come from Africa. And Simon was just in the crowd. And the Roman authorities required him to carry Jesus' cross because Jesus couldn't do it. And so Simon carried his cross for him. His son was with him, Rufus. Can you imagine bearing witness to this? Later in the book of Acts, I think in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says that Paul, the Apostle Paul, had talked to Rufus, Simon's son. Small world, isn't it? So they put Jesus on the cross, and Jesus hung on that cross from 9 in the morning until 3 when he died. Now that does not seem like a great story, love story from God, does it? Because it's feeling a little bit sad, and it's feeling a little bit brutal to me. What was first a powerful story of God's love turned dark. And Jesus died on that cross, and the world became dark and empty. And grief hung heavy like a shroud over our hearts. Those of us who knew the love of Christ, the warmth of his spirit, suddenly are grieving deeply. Death, it seemed, had claimed victory. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we feel like that. When we're at the bed of someone we love who has passed away, we feel like death has had a victory, don't we? And we can hardly stand the grief. And now you know where Mary was, how she felt that very morning on Easter. Andrew had read the first part of the story to us, but we're going to read the second part of the story because we're going to find there's a flicker of light in that darkness that Mary faced. The impossible had happened. The tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away and became a figure of hope instead of fear, and grace instead of shame, and life instead of pain. Peter and John, they raced to the tomb, desperate for hope. John arrived first. He didn't go in. He stood outside the tomb and looked to see if it was as Mary said. But Peter, he caught up quick and went right in the tomb. Well, of course, then John followed him. And what did they find in the tomb? Well, they found the grave clothes, because remember, Jesus had been wrapped in grave clothes. And they found the kerchief that covered his head and face folded up neatly. When Andrew read that story, did you think for a minute? I did, Andrew, when you said that, you paused and said that they found the cloth rolled up and folded. And I thought to myself, why do we make a big deal of that? Why did the writers of the gospel pull that out for us to consider? Well, at the time, I understand grave robbing was pretty prevalent. And so, if in fact grave robbers had found Jesus, they would not have taken the time to fold his grave clothes. That would have never happened. So that's why that point comes out to us loud and clear. And that, for those men, became evidence. And we heard. They believed. So now, let's hear the rest of the story. Why don't we? From the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 11 through 23 and 30 through 31. You can find it in your pew Bibles if you want to. And read along. That's the NRSV version. I'm going to be reading from the Message version by Eugene Peterson. Listen now for a word from God. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt and looked into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there dressed in white, one at the head and one at the foot, where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She's thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Sir, if you took him, tell me where you have put him so I can care for him." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't cling to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples. "I saw the Master," and she told them everything Jesus had said. Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so that you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and in the act of believing, have real and eternal life in the way personally he revealed it. Now, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Every year on Easter, we return to this terrible, miraculous, amazing story of God, of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And today we celebrate it in a big way because we cannot miss the most important part of the story. The tomb is empty. And the empty tomb is not only about Jesus coming back to life, it's not only a historical footnote, it is a promise. And it is our promise. If you've ever mourned the loss of someone you love, then you know the power of hope. You know the power of resurrection. Because when we claim it, we know that God has found us in Christ. And as believers, we know what we know. What we know. That death has lost its sting. That Jesus conquered it. And this is no small feat. Although we have some fears and some doubts, it is through the resurrected Jesus that we know what we know, what we know. That death no longer has a hold on us. And Jesus has effectively conquered all fears, all doubts, all despair. And when Mary Magdalene arrived at Jesus' tomb on Easter morning, she found it empty. And the angels asked her, "Why are you weeping?" And Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Sometimes I read this and I say, "Mary, why are you weeping?" Well, if you've ever suffered a loss, you know why she's weeping. Jesus knew why she was weeping. But he also knew to give her a sign of God's hope and God's power over death in Jesus Christ. This is the message of Easter. It's a message of hope and redemption, of God's love found in Jesus' sacrifice for us. Not only did death not win, but resurrection gives us a fresh start. And that's really good news. That's the news that God has called us by name. God has called you by name. And that's why you're here celebrating Resurrection Sunday. No, your mom didn't make you come. Your dad didn't make you come. Your wife or husband didn't make you come to church. Jesus called you by name. And that is a powerful witness that I want you to claim for yourself. Because God has called you by name. Earlier, I sang a little song. Is it okay if I sing it again? Are you going to help me this time? No. There's a song that we sing when we go to prison to visit incarcerated prison. And Pam and I, didn't we go to a women's prison? She doesn't remember. In the women's prison, there are people, women there, who have never been loved. They don't know love. They don't know the love of God. Some of them have never gotten a birthday cake in their life. None of them have gotten flowers from somebody. Little things that we take for granted. They do not know love. And so what we do when we go into prison is we bring each of them at their table a birthday cake. And we bring the birthday cake and we sing them a song. And there is not a dry eye in the house. The song that we sing is called "God Danced the Day You Were Born." If you know the song, you can sing it with me if you've ever been to prison. I promised I'd go back and see Pam again. Or she was going to see me. The song goes like this. You are loved. You are beautiful. You're a gift from God. God's own creation. You're a gift to all mankind. God's gift of love to them. You are loved. God danced the day you were born. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, that he might bridge the gap between God and us that we could never bridge without his help. And brothers and sisters, today you need to claim that love. That God loves you, this resurrection truth, that God loves you so much and that Jesus loved his world. Despite our imperfections, God showed us his love through the empty tomb. And Jesus loves us each in a very personal way. Just as Jesus spoke with Mary Magdalene, he calls to you. And maybe he says, "Why are you weeping? I'm not there." So we are called to live a life a little bit different now as believers in Christ? How can we live into this resurrection hope in Jesus Christ? The good news of Jesus' resurrection is that it calls us into action. The old things are gone and the new has come. We are changed people and we must behave in a different way. We are called to trade in our fear for faith. And we are called to live into our baptismal duty. I don't care if you were baptized as a baby or a full-grown adult. When you are baptized, you die to your old self and you're raised up once more in Christ Jesus. That's the symbol of baptism. And when you're raised to new life, you are expected to be different. How can we be different? Well, first thing we could do is talk to God. Talk to God on a regular basis. We religious professionals call that prayer. They didn't laugh earlier either. I thought that was funny. Prayer is just a simple conversation with God. But when you have conversations with people that you love, do you talk all the time or do you pause and let them talk back to you? And so in our prayers, you talk to God and you listen. And you give thanks. You can give thanks all the time. And I promise you, in the giving of thanks in your life, all those rotten things turn into joy. Because there's no room for you to gossip or to backbite or to be mean or to lie or to cheat. All that can be gone because you're new. That's behind you. And you are filled with God's light and love. And I promise you, when you talk to God, you will be changed. So that's one way we can live into this new identity in Christ Jesus. Another way we do is through living in service. Remember the two things God told us to do. Love God, love our neighbors. Love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Well, that means you treat people with compassion and care, just like you want to be treated. Even when you're driving down Bandera Road. Okay, especially when you're driving down Bandera Road. I know, it doesn't feel like Jesus is with you then, but he is. This new life in Christ is how we claim God's love story for us. We claim the truth of resurrection and we're changed. And today for us, the symbol, and you might have noticed a few butterflies. The earlier services, these are the butterflies they put up. And we use the symbol of the butterfly as a symbol of a new life. Because imagine the caterpillar. The caterpillar kind of lumbers along slowly, eating leaves, content to be stuck on earth. And then a miraculous transformation happens. And the caterpillar enters into this cocoon called a chrysalis. And it's dark. And we don't know what's going on in there, but something miraculous is happening in that chrysalis. And soon, the chrysalis opens, and new life appears in the form of a butterfly. Isn't that amazing? But the same thing for us as Christians is a symbol of our faith. The old has died so that the new can come, and we can be miraculously free like the butterfly. That's God's love for us. Now, you may be feeling stuck right now in certain circumstances. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you have the burden of sin on you. Let God take that. Let yourself say yes to God and be transformed, because that's all it takes, is a simple yes. Yes, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, I believe that God loves me. Yes, I believe I can put that old life behind and be new. And if that's your response today, if you want to fly with Christ, then I'm going to invite you in a few moments just to come forward. And if you don't have your butterfly, I have a couple of them on me, to put your butterfly on the cross and make that your symbol that you have decided to say yes to God and fly with Christ. Will you do it?
This morning in our opening prayer, we all prayed together that we rejoice and give thanks for this good news, which has been handed down to us from generation to generation. And this really spoke to me as my family's reason for giving is so that we can continue handing down this great news from generation to generation through our youth programs. Jesse and the rest of the youth ministry already puts on such great stuff for the kids. It's a lot of fun, engaging, and insightful activities. And my family gives so that we can continue doing that and continue passing down this good news through the generations. Will the ushers please come forward to receive our morning offering?
Oh, glorious day.
If everyone please stand and embody your spirit for the doxology. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for your goodness and mercy, especially for the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May these offerings, and indeed our very lives, become a witness to all people of the salvation and grace you bring into our world. Amen.
Amen.
We will usually go over our mission statement. Now, you guys are Easter people, and we are expected to do something with that. So every Sunday, we say our mission statement so that when we go out into the world, these are the things we'd like to do to transform the world for Jesus. And so if you would like to join me in saying the mission statement together, let's say it together. The mission of Helotes Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and our world. It's a tall order, but I think you can do it. Amen? What a wonderful time in service we've had today. I pray that you have been visited by the living, risen Christ, and you leave this place filled with joy, proclaiming to all that Christ is risen, the tomb is empty, there is nothing in this world that you have to fear. Amen?
Amen.
Then let us say our leave-taking words together. They'll appear on the screen like magic. Thank you. Easter people of Jesus Christ, this very day, God has acted.
Jesus raised from the dead. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Let us rejoice and be glad. As we go forth from this place, the peace of Christ go with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.